Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Okay, before we go into this next episode, I want to ask you, if you have the ability, maybe you're not driving right now, can you kick off your shoes and your socks? Socks also constrict our feet more than we think, but can you kick them off and can you spread your toes? Do they go different directions or can you spread them in a horizontal plane? Now, having this ability and this control, we have muscles that are called our intrinsic foot muscles that connect all the way up to our toes and go all the way through the bottom of your feet. And they really play a role in the strength and the function of your foot, which plays a role in what your arch is doing and how your foot is performing and moving on the ground underneath you, and then plays a role to what's happening up the chain in your knees, your hips, your low back. And Vivo Barefoot Shoes allows you to have that space in the toe. And it's not going to look like a crazy shoe, like a clown shoe. They have a wider toe box, but the way that Vivo styles their shoes is actually good. So they look good. My favorite across the board are the Primus Knit. Like if anyone asks me, the knit is what I go back to again and again, whether it's the Luxe, whether it's just any of the brands, I love the knit. And I actually go a half size down on that one because of the knit material allows for more space in my foot. However, for all the other shoes, I will say for myself personally, I go half a size up. However, you really got to see what works for you. So if you get a shoe and it doesn't quite fit, like don't go out and just use it all the time, take it back. Vivo Barefoot has this 100-day free trial as well so that you can try out the shoe, see if it even fits your foot well, and then take it back if it doesn't so you can try it again. I've had to kind of adjust and learn what shoes work best for me, and across the board, I go down half a size for the knit, I go up half a size for all the other shoes, but again, a lot of them are true to size. I can't personally go true to size because I'm a 6.5 in America and they don't have that in the UK right now, so that's okay, but you know, just trying out these shoes, seeing what it can feel like in your feet, and really getting to experience the freedom and the strength that comes from having a shoe that's actually functional, I just highly recommend. So also you get 15% off with our code TOB15. So go check out the link is in our show notes, or you could just type in vivobarefoot.com. If you haven't yet, use TOB15 at checkout and grab yourself some good functional shoes that are going to last you a long time. We are talking all things vagina health and pelvic floor on this podcast. We are going to go deep into hygiene. We're going to go about health practices. We're going to tear down some myths. We're going to drop some facts. And we are talking with vagina rehab doc herself, Janelle Howell. Now, go look her up on Instagram right now. Vagina Rehab Doc. She has so many resources, not only for those who have a vagina, but also for those who have a penis. And her information is so great because she makes it attainable, easy to understand, and very educational. She graduated with her pre-physical therapy degree back in Oakland University, but then she went on and graduated from the University of Pacific Stockton in 2015 with her Doctor of Physical Therapy degree, and then decided she really wanted to specialize in women's health physical therapy. So in 2018, she got accepted into the Women's Health Residency Program at Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago. And now she's a board certified women's health specialist since 2020. And she really, you know, she's treating people with urinary incontinence, pelvic pain, painful sex, constipation, postpartum, perineal trauma, and so much more. And she really just makes the education about these topics so great. So I'm so excited for this interview. And again, anyone who owns a vagina or know someone who does, please pass this episode along because it is going to be so educational. Janelle, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to be able to dive into this conversation because, one, I absolutely love everything that you post and everyone needs to go check her out right now. She is Vagina Rehab Doctor. You will learn so much and you won't regret it, even if you're a man. But I really appreciate you being here, giving us your time, and I'm excited to dive into our conversation today all about vagina health.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here with you and Dominic. I am I can talk about vaginas all day. So when you told me that we would get to do this on a podcast, I got really excited. I am also very inspired by your business too. I learned so much. I'm doing my neck stretches when I see your videos and everything. So I'm excited to talk with both of you.
I think that I'm just really excited for this talk too, because this is something we really need to start normalizing. We need to start normalizing these conversations about vaginas, about pelvic health in general, about penises for that matter, as somebody who has one of those and knows how important pelvic health is. So what do you think is one of the ways that we can really start to push these uncomfortable conversations forward into a place where they become more normalized and comfortable for people to get into their provider and just say, hey, I got something going on in my vagina. What can I do?
Sure. That's such a good question. I think more of what we're doing right now. We're mentioning the word. We're saying penis. We're not covering it up with something that is not, calling it a wee wee. We're not calling the vagina a flower. We are normalizing it, and we're saying that it's okay to talk about. It's not over sensualized. It's not nasty. It's not dirty. It's a body part. And I think once we start there, that can open up the journey to really discovering the things that have been frustrating us in our lives. And then number two, I think an empowering thing about the pelvic floor and vaginas is just knowing that it's a muscle group, like the muscles in your arm, like the muscles in your neck, that it's nothing different. It's just in a private place, but it's a muscle. And that means it can get stronger. You know, it can have pain. It can do all the other things that happen in the different places in our body.
So mm-hmm. huge and important. And I think what I see a little bit that sets you apart from some other pelvic floor therapy pages that I might see or follow is that you not only talk about pelvic health from this muscle group aspect, but you also talk about hygiene and health and stuff that I didn't even know until like a year ago of like, oh, I shouldn't be washing myself with soap down there. Like it's just, it's something that was never talked about. So like first and foremost, I would love to start there if we can, and then we'll dive into obviously all the things on the pelvic health and strength of it. But can we talk about vagina hygiene real quick?
Absolutely. I you know what's funny? I was just talking to my dad before I talked talking to you all. And he was telling me, he said, Janelle, you have to remember that most people have not been told anything mm-hmm. about their vaginas. This is what we've been told. Wipe front to back, and that's it. That's mm-hmm. literally all we, that for the most part, we haven't got any education. When we go to the doctor, the doctors are extremely busy. So they're going to give us our medication and ask us what's wrong, but not really any educational stuff. And so for hygiene, we have to unlearn that really feminine hygiene got started from rich people who wanted to capitalize off of creating shame from natural smells. So, you know, back in the 1800s, they started marketing actually Lysol as a means for feminine hygiene and preventing pregnancy. So they were using Lysol, the same Lysol we use to clean our bathrooms, to spray on their vulva and their vagina to prevent smells and also to prevent pregnancy. And that concept is not as aggressive today. We're not putting Lysol down there, but we're putting some of the same ingredients that are in cleaning solutions, harsh cleaning solutions on our vulva. And our vulva is the most sensitive skin. It has the most sensitive skin in the whole body. And so it's going to really take in a lot of those compounds and those toxins a lot sooner than if you put that on your hand or if you put that on your leg. And so really, all you need is water between the labia, like we're talking about between the folds, not really where the hair grows on the outer parts of the vulva, but between, as you're getting closer to the vaginal opening, water is all that's needed, and water is a cleanser. So I think that's the biggest thing. And it's hard for us. No one wants to give up their sweet smelling soap. They want to smell fresh and everything. And you can. But it's a process to unlearn that you actually don't need to be putting perfume on your vulva.
So a couple questions. First off, some vaginal anatomy. Can you take us through what you mean by some of these different terms you're using, like vulva or the labia? clitoris for that matter, and what that all means, then could you just go right into, if somebody is noticing that they're having certain smells or things that they might not find pleasant to themselves, like what would you initially consult somebody in to say, hey, here's a way that you can start to approach this odor that you may be having?
Sure, sure. Such great question. So we have to really clarify the difference between vulva and vagina. We have been, even professionals, using the term vagina as an all-encompassing term, like where we grow our pubic hair. We've been calling that the vagina. The lips, so you will, between the legs that look like lips, we've been calling that vagina. But really, vagina is the internal portion that the baby comes through. It is unseen to the human eye. So everything that you're looking at when you open your legs or when you have sex, that is the vulva, everything, including the opening. So I think that's a big thing that we have to unlearn as professionals and even just in our daily lives when we talk. So that is the difference between vulva and vagina. And then labia just refers to the folds that surround the vaginal opening. So we have the bigger folds on the outside that have hair, and then we have the inner folds that really directly surround and lead to the vaginal opening. So that's what I mean by that. And then when we're talking about different odors, I think before we even get into like how it smells, is it a strong odor? Is it a fishy odor? Number one, I like to say this a lot, is that between your legs is like the second armpit. I mean, it really is, if we're honest. We don't question our armpit at the end of the day if our underarm stinks. We just think, okay, we've been active, we've been doing a lot of things, go take a shower. We don't like go around questioning our underarms.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important to start with, knowing that there's a lots of sweat glands down there, just like your underarm. There's hair down there, just like your underarm. It's dark and it's enclosed and it's a perfect place for bacteria to have a little party down there. So I think that that's the first place to start. And the second thing is just knowing that if you're having an odor that is hard to control, I mean, a fishy and foul odor, similar to something that's dead or something that smells like seafood that is not controlled when you take a shower or it's back within 10 minutes, then I think you should go see a doctor at that point. That could be a bacterial infection. And so that's what I would recommend if that's happening to someone.
Yeah, I think this is so important to bring up this conversation, because a lot of times what we have learned, at least in, you know, traditional medical system, is like, I smell, let me put this cream on. Right. And we try to cover up smells rather than actually addressing the root cause. And I know you've talked about different products. What are some of the products that you just say, you know, I think that you should stay away from this, and let's look at getting back to the root cause of what's actually causing the smell?
Oh, buddy, such a good question, Jen.
I want you to go there.
You know what? Hey, I say cancel these products. Vagisil, cancel it. Summer's Eve, there's a women's rights activism group. They had a campaign to appeal to Summer's Eve to take off a lot of their ingredients from their product. And they finally did. They had to remove 10 products that were carcinogens, cancer-causing agents, in these products that we've been using for wipes, sprays, washes, all of those things. So Summer's Eve is one of them. Honestly, many of the feminine hygiene products that are marketed just for your intimate region typically have a fragrance. And fragrances are irritants, meaning it's going to irritate the lining of the skin of your genital region, and it's going to make it easier to catch an infection. So the things that actually say odor control and pH balancing, usually they have things that try and cover up your odor by introducing perfumes, irritants, and cancer-causing agents, which might cover up the smell, but actually you want to smell what you want to smell your aroma, because that can indicate whether you need to go to a doctor or whether something is happening that requires more attention.
That's so important. And
huge.
Yeah, we'll cancel all those, everybody. Write them down. Seriously. And that's just so crazy to me, like all the carcinogens, and we have to campaign and lobby to these people to get them taken out. That's one thing about big business in general that we could rant on about for hours. But you bring on a few of these things like bacterial growth, pH levels, this environment of the internal vagina and the vulva and different things that can impact that. And I think one thing I really appreciate that you bring up a lot is, the things that you put in your mouth might impact that as far as the food you eat, the things that you put in your vagina, whether it's your partner's penis or your partner's fingers or a tool might impact that. So can you talk about some of the things that might impact this internal environment?
Absolutely. Oh man, you guys are asking so many good questions. I love it. Okay, so the vagina is pretty much like a planet. It's literally an ecosystem if you read up on it. And that just means similar to Earth. We have Mars and we have Jupiter and then we have Earth. Our vagina actually is the living space for lots and lots and lots of bacteria. And so one of the things that creates our pH, all that means is just how acidic your vagina is. The same way we would look at a lemon and say, wow, this is really acidic. The same thing with the vagina. The vagina actually has an acidic level very similar to wine. Mm-hmm. So it's very potent, or at least it should be under healthy and normal circumstances. And so I like to say this to people, anything that goes around, anything that goes on, or anything that goes inside can impact and alter your pH, which again is just measuring the acidity level. And here's the whole reason why that's important. If your vagina is not acidic enough, it won't be able to prevent an infection. Mm. And everything likes to, well, not everything, lots of things like to go in our vaginas, penises, fingers, toys, all these different things. And these products and body parts are interacting with the outside world. The penis interacts with the outside world. Toys interact with the outside world. And now that's going inside of our bodies. And so when we put things inside, if that throws off the acidity level by introducing more harmful bacteria, or by introducing a liquid that's a little bit more watery, like semen. Semen has the pH of something closer to water. Mm. So because our vagina is very acidic, sometimes when people don't have a strong, like a vaginal fighting system, like they catch infections a little bit easier, then something as simple as having sex without protection can alter their vaginal pH, and that could lead to an infection. So many times it is sex, but it can also be anything else, like maybe staying in a swimsuit too long, where it's too much moisture, are wearing panties that really don't allow moisture to exit, like you're using synthetic panties like nylon or different things, or maybe a thong. You have this string stuck between your butt cheek and it's not really allowing moisture to escape. And so food too, like you mentioned, sugary foods are going to feed things like E. coli and the bacteria that causes, the fungi that causes yeast. So a yeast infection might happen a little bit easier if you're having like lattes and donuts and different things like that. And so we have to just wake up and realize what we eat, what we do, who we allow inside of us will impact our vaginal health.
This is so huge. And I hope that people are really starting to take this in and look at their entire environment. And I love that you're talking about some of the foods that could affect and cause yeast infections. Can you go into now foods that could maybe support us to avoid yeast infections or maintain a healthy pH level?
Sure, absolutely. So things that are going to be extremely helpful are going to be things that feed the good bacteria. So again, talking about that planet, right? Our vagina is like a planet. And all the good bacteria that live in there, anything that's living has to eat, or else it will not thrive and it'll probably die off. Mm. And so when you eat foods that are fiber foods, talking about like brown rice and sweet potato, asparagus, broccoli, carrots, even avocado and fruits like berries. That's actually called a prebiotic. And so a lot of people focus on the probiotics because it's so easy to just get a pill and pop it. But that doesn't actually feed the good bacteria that already live inside of you. And so that can help to increase the good bacteria in your vagina by eating those foods we just talked about. Really, it's not complicated. Just all the fiber foods are great. And that can introduce more of the good bacteria, which can help to normalize the vaginal pH. Mm-hmm. And that is actually going to impact odor. That's going to impact lubrication. That's going to impact preventing infections. And so it's really just like this gift that keeps on giving. Seeds, you know, like pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds and nuts like almonds, walnuts are great for men and women, anyone that has a penis, anyone that has a vagina, because of the omega-3 levels. And that can help with zinc and normalizing your hormones. So really getting into those plant-based foods, there's nothing wrong with eating meat, but really trying to get enough of that stuff on a daily basis is going to really impact your vaginal health.
I love this.
Oh, that's so, so great. And just a lot of foods that are just packed with all those micronutrients that I feel like so many people who, like you mentioned, are, you know, maybe eating a higher amount of those sugary or processed foods might not be getting. And so just making that change can make such a quick flip. And I mean, you brought up lubrication, and I want to talk a little bit about intercourse, because that's something that happens with vaginas. And if you're having a lot of pain during sex, you brought up that, you know, maybe changing your diet could help with lubrication. But what would you recommend to somebody? Because again, that lube is going to be going in the vaginal canal, and that can, like you said, really impact the environment in there. And I'm guessing there are some lubrications that are better than others, or some ways to approach that.
Absolutely, man. So unfortunately, the lubes that are most used are the ones that are most harmful. So, I mean, rest in peace to KY Jelly. Rest in peace to Astroglide. These are the ones that have the most money behind their industry, so they're able to market more. So that's the one that's going to be easier to get, right? It's at Walgreens, it's at Walmart, it's everywhere. You don't have to go online to get it. But these products actually have glycerin in it, which is a form of sugar that can actually break down the vaginal barrier, meaning the walls of our vagina on the inside. If that breaks down, it's easier for things to penetrate through it, like bacteria or just different compounds that are not going to be very helpful for us. And it's a form of sugar. So that means E. coli and yeast are going to feed on that. And it's going to make it a lot easier to get irritated or to get an infection. And so I mentioned E. coli because a lot of vagina owners get recurrent UTI, urinary tract infections, excuse me. And so a urinary tract infection, like 80% of the time, is caused by E. coli. So, and that bacteria is hanging around our butthole, right? And so when you're having sex, everything is moving, right? The bacteria is moving, things are slashing, and hopefully sex is not still, right? So there's a lot of movement with sex. And then if that bacteria gets into the vaginal canal and there's a food source there, like there's glycerin, E. coli is like, yes, come on now, we got food. Whoa, what's going on? So they're getting happy, and now they're going to travel to the bladder and the urethra a lot easier because they got the energy to get there. They got their sugar from your lube, and so that can make it easier as well. So I recommend Good Clean Love. That's one brand that I actually really like for several reasons. You can use organic coconut oil as well. And you can even use a brand called Coconu, C-O-C-O-N-U. And you can find Good Clean Love at like Walgreens and Target. The other brands, you might have to go online to get it. But these are great ones that I fully support.
And if someone is experiencing more dryness or something that they haven't really experienced before and they're needing to feel like they have lube, could that be an indication of more yeast infections or something else happening within the pH?
It could, but usually dryness is not necessarily like a hallmark sign of pH disturbances. You can have a normal pH and still be dry. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for example, you're just not aroused. Mm-hmm. or maybe you just skip foreplay. And I think, unfortunately, we've been skipping foreplay. Mm. Literature is showing that sometimes, and again, people are going to be like, what? Sometimes we need up to 45 minutes of foreplay.
Wow.
to be fully aroused. Yeah. And so for a man and for someone who has a penis, hey, they can just say the word sex in their heart. Like, it doesn't really take that much time. But for someone who has a clitoris and vagina, to get all of the blood flow down there, I like to tell people at minimum 15 minutes, but the longer the better, because you'll get a clitoral erection. You'll actually get the clitoris to engorge with more blood, and that's going to bring more blood flow, which is the water that turns into the lubrication. So the lubrication inside of our vagina is actually just filtrated blood that seeps through. So the more you're aroused, the more your clitoris gets engorged, you're going to get more lubrication.
This is huge. I mean, this is just information that I feel like not enough people talk about, know about, and really pay enough attention to. And then it becomes, oh, I'm broken. What's wrong with me? You know, and all these stories that could build more insecurity rather than empowerment of what I can actually do for my body. So I love that we're having this conversation.
Jen, I want to say this because sometimes you can do all the foreplay you want to do. You're just still not lubricated. Sometimes it's medication. You know, sometimes there are things just interacting with your body where it's going to be a little bit harder, or maybe you're getting closer to menopause and estrogen is lower. And in those cases, it's okay to use the lubricant, or you might have just a little bit more difficulty getting to that level. But there are things that you can do, like even exercising can increase more blood flow and help. But sometimes it's difficult. And in that case, just do the best that you can with what you have.
100%.
I'm over here like, where's my notepad? I'm taking down notes. Anyone who's listening, and men, if you're listening to this, start taking notes. Or women, please send this one forward to your men, because I again, normalizing the conversation, we can't just think that these are conversations women need to have with their doctors. Like, a man can really be an ally in a lot of these areas by continuing to learn how they can best support their partner in these types of things.
Sure. That is so huge. The word support.
Yeah.
I mean, sex does not happen alone. While we know of masturbation, sex is just this symbiote. We're depending on each other to really achieve a level of intimacy and connection. And so many people online, you know, they make comments and they say, man, I wish my husband would follow you. Or I wish my husband understood. Or I wish my boyfriend would really understand this. And I'm thankful for people like you, Dominique, who are normalizing the conversation, but we have to keep it going, even in our personal spaces, like with our friends and in the car, just to get it out there into the atmosphere.
100%. And I think it's continuously important to remember, men have a pelvic floor, right? It's not just up to the woman and her vagina, but it's especially if you're intimate with a man, it's important to you both play a role in your pelvic health.
And this is where I want to talk a little bit about, I know you talk a lot about posture. I mean, you brought that up from the beginning, and just how the whole ecosystem of your body's postural function can really impact the pelvic floor, and why that's so important to be aware of for both men and women.
Yeah. Yeah. So our posture is literally the way we hold ourselves our whole life. You know, when someone has a baby, they're really, really sure that you're holding the baby correctly. You're like, support the head, hold the baby up, don't drop the baby. But when it comes to holding ourselves, we don't care. Mm. And so it's like, I think that we have to understand that this is an act of self-love. This is a revolutionary act to say, the way that I sit, I'm going to sit like I love myself. I'm not going to sit like a failure. We see people just slouched over like they just lost the Olympics or something. And so I think it starts there by just realizing that your posture is an indication of how well you treat yourself, number one. And number two, when you slouch, when your shoulders are rounded forward and your neck is coming forward, you know, like you're a turtle a little bit, you know, that will change the position of your pelvis and your butt. It'll tuck your butt under you, your tailbone. It'll tuck it under you. And that's going to tighten your pelvic floor muscles for men and women. And when you tighten something, you restrict it. If you restrict it, you decrease the function. If you decrease the function, you decrease your quality of life. So we're talking about decreased bladder control for men and women, because men are dribbling pee on the floor. It's going to decrease sexual function. Men might have difficulty maintaining an erection if their pelvic floor muscles are not working well. Same thing for women. A lot of women and vagina owners have really difficult time achieving orgasm. And a tight pelvic floor is actually going to impede that or make it more difficult to reach that climax. So, I mean, posture is huge. And I think that we really have to just unlock that and realize that it's not just something that your mom told you to do. It's something that can improve your pleasure and your quality of life.
This is huge. And I love to, I remember you had put a post, you know, of it's not just the magical vagina if he ejaculates really quickly. Sometimes it's that he doesn't have the pelvic floor control. And can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I mean, you know, I went on Cardi B, which is a female rapper, and she has on her Instagram profile a Grammy Award winning vagina. Grammy Award winning vagina. So I thought, this is an interesting topic. You know, this can make someone feel good if they tell themselves they have a Grammy Award winning vagina. But I think a lot in just typical culture, we think, you know, if a man really enjoys sex and if he comes really quickly, it's because, oh, the vagina was so tight and it was so amazing and it was wonderful. But when you actually study the pelvic floor, the role of the pelvic floor muscles are super important for a man during sex. And so when he's getting the blood into the penis that allows him to get hard, the pelvic floor muscles, if they're functioning well, they're going to clamp down on a vein that takes blood away. So if those muscles don't clamp down well, the blood will just rush out, so he won't be able to maintain an erection. And he won't be able to control the ejaculation reflex. So if a man lightly squeezes his pelvic floor muscles, he can actually prevent himself from having an orgasm. And so we have to start thinking about, well, if the penis is right between the legs and the pelvic floor is right there too, they have to be working together. They have to be doing it. It's not going to be the foot muscles. It's not going to be the neck muscles. So I think it's really important for us to look at, is it pleasure like causing someone to come quickly, or is it some things going on with their body that may need a little bit more attention?
And I'm so glad you dove into this a little bit, you know, as somebody who's coming out of playing college football and never really knowing what my pelvic floor was doing and having issues with urinary urge incontinence and really needing to dive in a lot myself. I think it's so important for us to, again, be open about having these conversations for all of the men and penis owners out there that might be having issues dribbling on the floor or feeling any sort of urinary urge incontinence or staying hard. I mean, you just said the magic switch. Man, you can prevent an orgasm if you're doing this thing right. That would be amazing. So how can you and how do you start to coach people into understanding, is my pelvic floor more tight? Am I coordinating things well? Are there things people could do now in their home
to start improving their pelvic floor muscle function, or to start knowing if they have some dysfunction?
I guess, first of all, to be aware of if you're tight or if you aren't, you know, contracting well. I think that's a great place to start for people.
Sure. So sometimes it can be difficult to, you know whether you're tight or loose or weak, but you can rely on the signs, which may indicate. And so I like to tell people, anything dealing with pee, poop, or pleasure, if you're having difficulties with it, whether it is you're coming too quickly if you're a man, or you're really not able to achieve orgasm at all. While that is very complex, it's not just pelvic floor, right? There's other things involved. Or like pee. Maybe you're running to the bathroom to pee all the time. You're going to pee every every hour and you know you're not drinking that much fluid, or you're peeing several times at night, anything that deals with pee, poop, or pleasure, if it's abnormal or if it's bothering you, then I would suggest looking into pelvic floor physical therapy, or just even asking your doctor about what they think should be done to see if something's going on with the pelvic floor. Because again, it's not always the pelvic floor that's causing it, but it's definitely a big determinant of those three major things: pee, poop, and pleasure.
I think that's so easy of a breakdown to be able to provide people and then be able to ask the questions. And if your doctor doesn't, like, is like, oh, you know, give some overlying, like, nothing is really wrong, you'll be fine.
This is super common.
Yeah.
Or, yes. I feel like that's what a lot of people hear.
Like, I think telling people, like, it is okay to advocate for your health and ask, you know, whether you need a prescription for pelvic floor PT, or if you just go seek it out, because in most states we have
some sort of direct access. Yeah.
Yeah, that is still a problem. I mean, we even have medical doctors who don't even believe that therapy really does something.
Yeah.
So sometimes you do have to self-advocate. I would suggest calling a clinic directly. You don't have to go through the doctor. Sometimes you do, depending on what physical therapy clinic you want to go to. But if you just Google pelvic physical therapy near me, you can call them directly and say, can I come and see you without a referral?
Yes.
And if they say no, call around some more. I mean, literally, if you just take an hour and a half to say, I'm going to call around to pelvic, just an hour and a half, and you've been peeing on yourself for 5 years, then an hour and a half is worth the investment. There's also pelvic therapists online who are starting to do virtual training now. And I mean, the world is vast when it comes to that. There's different therapists online. I don't know what you guys do with therapy online, but you can use your social media to your advantage.
Yeah.
So people that are listening are obviously already know about Optimal Body Podcast and, you know, Vagina Rehab Doctor. Woo, that's me. But you'll be surprised at things that you can learn. If you're spending time on social media every day, you might as well follow someone who's going to teach you about the things that you're struggling with in your daily life.
100%. I mean, I just, again, love all the work that you're doing. The education that you're putting out online is so good. And I just, there's no reason why you shouldn't be following her at this point. And I want to, like, kind of wrap into, I know, you know, Kegels are not enough. And it's a whole, I love that you call it a vaginal fitness, but it truly is. It's a workout for your entire body and getting to know your body on a deeper level. And that's what you bring people through. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So I like to just tell people that, you know, your vagina is a muscle. It can get stronger. It can relieve more pain. It can become more flexible. It can become even more tighter if it's loose or lax. So you will. So I like to get that out there, that because the vagina is a muscle, that means that there's a such thing as vaginal fitness. And that's one of the things that I really try and get people to understand, is that when you work on your posture, when you work on your breath control, like holding your breath when you're pooping, or, you know, whether you're going to sleep with underwear all the time, you know, even something simple like taking your underwear off, that can actually help improve your vaginal fitness. So I host classes on average about every 4 to 6 months virtually online, where I teach something about vaginal health and vaginal fitness. My next class is going to be on October 24th. And so it's going to be online. And we're going to be talking about the first level of vaginal fitness. And that's controlling your breath when you exercise, knowing how to breathe and how to control that. How that impacts with your vagina. Number two, your booty biomechanics. Really, the strength of your butt and the muscles that surround your vagina can actually help to support vaginal fitness. And then number three, vaginal lengthening. And the concept behind that is actually relaxing and lengthening out the pelvic floor so it can actually contract better. You know, we move better when we're more relaxed. You know, we have a better day when we're more relaxed. And so it's the same thing with your vagina. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about in my next class, Vaginal Fitness Level 1.
Love it.
Oh, that's so amazing. And we're definitely going to hook up the vaginal fitness class down below in the show notes, wherever you're watching this. So go give that a click and look into it a little bit. If anything you've heard has been of use to you, I know that you would just learn so much throughout that class. Men and women. I that's something that I think I would be interested in, just like learning about everything you go through, again, to either be an ally or to help with my own pelvic health. Dr. Howell, mm-hmm. thank you so much for being here today with us. Is there anywhere else other than Vagina Rehab Doctor or the Vaginal Fitness class? Where can people learn more about what you put out there?
Sure. So my website is vaginarehabdoctor.com. And that's where I just let you know like who I am and how this got started, and also more details about my classes and what I offer. Aside from that website, I am heavily involved on Instagram, so Vagina Rehab Doctor as well. You can send me an email, vaginarehabdoctor@gmail.com, if you have a question.
Amazing. You guys just go follow her right now. Check out all her stuff. Get into the class and pass this along, because you know that this information is not widespread enough. And I just thank you, Janelle, for doing the work of putting it out there. And you show up in such great ways. And we appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much to the both of you. I really enjoyed this conversation. And I can't wait to hear this episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love a good chat about vaginas, penises, and sex. And just normalizing those terms and normalizing these discussions, because clearly we need to have them more. For anybody who has a penis, vagina, or pelvic floor, this is so important. As you saw Dr. Howell talking about, everything we put on our body, everything we put in our body, from what we eat to how we move, it impacts our pelvic floor health. So please pass this on to anybody you might know who might need it. Subscribe, comment, leave us messages in our DMs if you have other questions, or just reach out to Dr. Howell at Vagina Rehab Doc on Instagram. See you next time.